You never know what issue the court will find fascinating.
Well, at least part of it. Somebody.
Good morning, Your Honors. Chris Sadorowski for the appellants, Chris and Pam Warner. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
See.
The court directed us to come prepared to discuss the Keck case. And briefly, before I get into that, I'd like to just outline the kind of the key facts in this. It's a medical malpractice case. It involves neuromonitoring that was done at the Swedish Orthopedic Institute. Surgery was carried out by Dr. Falikov. Prior to this, Swedish and the orthopedic physicians group that Dr. Falikov belongs to had basically put together a remote monitoring system where the neural monitoring can be done upstairs on the sixth floor as opposed to the floor of the surgery, the main purpose of which is so it could be billed to Medicare. Relevant to the issues in this case is the billing that went on. There was about $190,000 billed by Swedish.
Isn't the issue here on summary judgment not the billing, but the question of whether or not the trial court erred when it granted summary judgment, because she determined that the affidavits and declarations were not sufficient to establish a standard of care?
That's correct, Your Honor. I'm just trying to tie in the billing because it shows that Swedish was part of this whole neuromonitoring process.
But you haven't assigned error.
No, this is just a factual time. I can skip over it if you...
Well, time's short. So.
Okay, all right. So in terms of the applicability of the Keck case, there was the whole discussion whether or not the Burnett factors had been used. In this case, I don't think that applies because the order that denied...
I think we probably agree with you.
Okay.
I apologize for
right.
hearing you wrong.
So then the real issue...
Keck also talks about what has to be shown to establish a standard of care.
Yes.
And it was more than one thing in that case that comes to mind when you read the briefs in this case.
And the Keck case distinguished the Guile case, or at least explained why the affidavit by Dr. Lee in the Keck case was adequate. And the court spent a lot of time looking at paragraphs 5 and 6, which is in the Keck decision. And paragraph 5 basically talks about the fact that the surgeons perform multiple surgeries without addressing the problem of non-union and infection. But Dr. Lee, in that declaration, didn't go into any specifics beyond that. That was the simple statement. The court held that that was sufficient in terms of showing that there was a duty and a breach of the standard of care. Paragraph 6 of Dr. Lee's affidavit basically said that the sending of the patient to a general dentist was inadequate and should have gone to an oral surgeon or plastic surgeon or ENT surgeon, and that didn't meet the standard of care. Again, going into no other specifics beyond that. The Supreme Court here in our state held that unanimously with a concurring opinion with three justices that was adequate to raise issues of fact relative to the summary judgment. When we look...
What Keck said, trying to be pithy, I think, but probably being helpful, was that the plaintiff... quote, needs an expert to say what a reasonable doctor would or would not have done, that the doctors failed to act in that manner, and that this failure caused her injury. If we substitute the word hospital for doctor in that quotation, is it your position that that sets forth your burden on summary judgment in this case?
Essentially, Your Honor, except I think the statute and also the WPI 105-0202 basically uses the term reasonable care in granting privileges only to competent physicians. That's a duty, a non-delegable duty for patient safety by the hospital.
Would or would not have done would be with reference to the statute, right?
Sorry, I missed the point, Your Honor.
Well, again, needs an expert to say what a reasonable, I'll substitute the word hospital,
yes.
would or would not have done, that the hospital failed to act in that manner, and that this failure caused her injury. That seems to be the test. I'm saying that the test would be with regard to the things you're discussing, what the obligations of the hospital are. But is there some contention that the burden that you have is something other than to do the thing that Keck described?
No, we have to produce an expert who's familiar with, in this case, neuromonitoring procedures, what constitutes reasonably prudent, actually reasonable steps, reasonable care by the hospital in deciding how to credential physicians to do neuromonitoring and have actual policies and procedures in place. And the facts in this case is that there were none. There were no policies and procedures, which is acknowledged, and that's in the record, and there was no credentialing that went on in terms of deciding whether or not a physician was competent to do neuromonitoring.
Does the Joint Commission have any standards whatsoever on machines that go beep?
It probably does, Your Honor, but it's really not, that's not determinative. That might be evidence of different standards that the hospital should meet. No, I think there's a whole variety of machines that could be used.
Well, let's talk about this specific machine.
This machine produces waveforms, and it produces an audible alarm. And so the testimony in the case by the surgeon who's down doing the surgery was that he was listening for an audible alarm. And the testimony from his partner, who's billing Medicare several floors up for supposedly listening to the same alarm, is really not watching waveforms, because the evidence shows that he actually took off and did a surgery during this nine-hour period where he's supposed to be doing this neuromonitoring. I mean, it's really tangentially a fraud that's participated by both Swedish and by the orthopedic group. They wound up waiving some of the fees. But
essentially what you're saying is that under 105.02.02, which is the instruction that defines the standards, you're alleging it's the failure to exercise reasonable care to grant and renew staff privileges, and I won't finish reading, and the other is the failure to to exercise reasonable care to adopt policies and procedures. They didn't have standards, nor did they have policies and procedures, standards for credentialing the doctors. Is that, in essence?
Yes. So they're negligent for not having those, and then our physicians went extra steps, both in terms of the declaration and the deposition testimony, that what they needed to do was have people who were familiar with neuromonitoring that could be credentialed to do this as part of the credentialing process. And then the failure to have policies and procedures, which sort of dovetails into this remote monitoring business, that's also negligent. It's negligent by not having the policies and procedures, and our experts went further, actually, than what was detailed in the Keck case in terms of providing background facts as to what should be done. There was an explanation as to the different types of monitoring, the audible alarm, all that. So I think there's plenty of actual adequate factual foundation, which takes it way out of the realm of the Guile case.
Let me just confirm that you are saying that not only are the declarations submitted in summary judgment by your expert are alone sufficient, but also the subsequent depositions that were presented in the reconsideration.
Correct.
Okay.
And the depositions were taken 2 days before the hearing.
The trial court considered them. So.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And you'll have 2 minutes on rebuttal. Before you start, counsel, Ms. Morrison, would you do me a favor? I keep hearing voices. I shouldn't be hearing voices. Will you see if they're in our ante room and ask them to cease? Thank you. Counsel?
May it please the court. My name is Amber Pierce on behalf of Swedish Medical Center. You know, it appears that the key question here is, what suffices is adequate factual support in an expert declaration. And for 22 years, Guile set the standard that an expert must identify specific facts and not supporting conclusions. The trial court in this case, relying on Guile, determined that the two experts...
Make it work with Keck.
Well, that...
We need an expert to say what a reasonable doctor would or would not have done, that the doctors failed to act in that manner, and that this failure caused her injury. Here we've got a hospital instead of a doctor. We got the Supreme Court instead of us guys. So make it work with Keck.
Judge Dwyer, I believe that the Keck court eroded and, in fact, lowered the threshold such that Mr. Warner's expert declarations would probably pass muster on the summary judgment standard in viewing the light most favorable to Mr. Warner.
Okay. So you're conceding that the...
I'm conceding that Keck v. Collins significantly eroded and lowered the threshold set forth in Guile upon which this, the trial court...
It is a Supreme Court case.
That is correct. In September of 2015, well after the trial court had issued what we perceive as a correctly decided decision at the Supreme Court, stating that bare-bone conclusions will suffice, is a game-changer in this case.
Shouldn't that be applied here?
It should be applied.
She's being as candid as she can be without...
I'm being straightforward, yes.
...client on an ice
wall. We appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason that we asked you folks to talk about that case. I mean,
absolutely, and it would be disingenuous to stand here and say that it's not. So
it's okay to disagree with them. That happens here occasionally, too, but it's still, there's a societal order in effect. Is there anything else you want to address?
No, other than I don't believe the trial court abused its discretion in denying review because it didn't meet the criteria for reconsideration. Essentially, there was no surprise. The plaintiff
could have... Except the trial court, in her order, said she considered the deposition, and there was no objection to it below that she considered them, so it's part of our record.
That's correct.
Okay.
So you don't think the deposition testimony was adequate under Guile?
Oh, I do believe that the deposition testimony was adequate under Guile.
All right.
If the court doesn't have any other questions, then I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. You have 2 minutes if you...
Can't imagine what you'd want to tell us.
I might just sit down while I'm ahead.
Do you want us to rule?
You know, those are nice words to hear when we hear them.
Do you want an opinion?
Right now?
No.
Oh. Yes, we would, actually.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.